from my apartment. It's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's a man who's more awkward than that hug between Julie Chen Moonves and Kato Kaelin. I am Rob Cespino. Everybody, welcome back. It is eviction night once again. We got a lot to talk about here on a night where we saw comedy legend Gallagher come into the house, smash fruit, and Kato Kaelin was evicted from the Big Brother house. A sentence that never in my wildest dreams would I ever imagine that I would say. Let's talk to the panel here tonight. We got a good one. Let's talk to first, welcome back, Melissa Denny. Melissa, how are you?
I'm doing great. I realized during this episode that I still do not understand the comedic stylings of Gallagher. That I do not. It is
you
not
don't understand?
It's not for me. And this just further proves it. I thought that was the case. But now that I've seen it, not for me.
Okay. We'll talk more about it as we go along here with Mr. Brent Wogmont. Brent, how are you?
I'm not doing well.
Oh, no. What's wrong?
I have been rooting for Tamar. I love Tamar. She had a power. She went and won HOH. And this is the worst week for her ever, Rob. I can't believe it. I am just so upset with her decisions this week. And we can get into it. But you would think after you had a power and you won HOH that it was a good week for you. But I contend this was her death knell this week.
Okay. We will hear exactly why as we are streaming here live tonight on Monday the 4th, as we are but 9 days away from the finale of Celebrity Big Brother 2. So be on the lookout for a lot of evictions coming up real quick here over these next 9 days. We are live here tonight on robinswebsite.com. Hashtag RHAP, take your questions to get them into the show and to move into the last couple of weeks of the show, Winter of Stein. We're going to do those on the next two Tuesdays. So look for a Winter of Stein tomorrow morning. Hashtag Winter of Stein. Get your questions in winterofstein@robinswebsite.com or leave us a voicemail. I'll talk to Eric Stein tomorrow morning about everything going on here. And then we'll do one last Winter of Stein next Tuesday to get you ready for the finale. When's the LFC roundtable this week?
Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday.
Sorry.
Okay.
Don't listen to me.
Winter of Stein Tuesday, Wednesday night, LFC roundtable, and then another show on Thursday night where I believe we'll get HOH and maybe Vito setting us up for double eviction in the 2-hour episode coming up on Friday night. So a lot to do here. And so, right, Brent, you want to start us off talking about Tamar and how she blew her shot?
Okay. So going into this week, Tamar knows where all the pieces are on the board, all right? And if you weren't sure of that going into tonight's episode, you are certainly sure of it after tonight's episode when she's in the diary room going, you know, this little bedroom crew that I got here, I feel like I'm number 4 on the totem pole. Add to the fact...
Number 4 with no licky.
Yes, exactly. She knows they're all taking each other and they're all equally dislikable, so there's no freaking way that they're going to take her to the end. So she is right to feel like she is at best number 4, and maybe you could even argue number 5 if they think maybe Candy is an easier shot to beat at the end. They would be wrong, by the way. Anyway, so going into the HOH competition, I'm thinking she has no business winning this whatsoever, okay? And not only that, wait for it. She has a power that keeps her safe.
Yes.
She doesn't even need to win. And she has on one side a duo that everybody hates, and on the other side, a trio that is very, very tied together that people sort of like, but they're not like the jury is not going to like them. But within the house, I guess people sort of get along with them. They're the in crowd right now. So she has all of this in front of her. She goes into an HOH competition where she knows where everything is on the game board, and yet she still goes out and wins the competition, which is the worst possible thing she could do. Once I saw it was her and Kato at the end, I was like, you know what? I'm hoping that maybe Kato rang in wrong and she was pissed that she won. But no, she wanted it. She wanted to win HOH. And Rob, this is so terrible for her because the only thing she can do once she's made this deal with and made nice with Nolikki, she has to then make her nominations of Tom and Kato. She has to follow through with that. There's no turning back on that. Otherwise, she's pissed everybody off and has no chance to win at the end. So she goes ahead and puts Tom and Kato up. But Tom and Kato going home is not the best thing for her because now one of them is going to be gone. All three of Nolikki is still in the game, and she can't play for HOH next week, and she doesn't have a power. It's looking dicey because there's seven people left in the game, three people that are really tight, and basically it's Dina, Candy, and Tom against Nolikki for HOH. She better pray that a little luck runs her way and one of her compadres win HOH, or she could be sitting on the block this week. Yeah. She could go home.
Okay, just to set the stage, Nolikki, that is Natalie, Eva Marie, Lolo, and Ricky combined. Yeah. Now, Melissa, is what Brent is saying making sense, or because this is crazy world, this is Celebrity Big Brother 2, is it not as bad as Brent is making it out to be?
I think it was a mistake on her part to win that HOH when it came down to her versus Kato. It would have been a lot simpler for her to get the blood, any sort of blood off her hands and give it to Kato and be like, ah, man, I lost it. And then worst case scenario, if Kato turns on her, she still has a power and then she can play in the HOH next week. So it just, it made no sense for her to win it. I don't think her winning this ends up being like, oh no, that's it for her. She's done. She's lost the game. But I think that it would have been way smarter for her not to win. And you know, honestly, I just want to say that watching this episode and, you know, watching the feeds for the past couple of days, I've been super impressed with Candy. You know, she's
come alive.
She's finally turned it on. She's finally started playing. And not only that, she's playing well. Mm-hmm. I feel like it was one of those things where it's like, she's not playing at all. And if she does start playing, like, what are we going to get from her? Like, I never really knew if she was going to be good at the game or what, but she's actually making the most sense out of everybody. She seems to have a really good strategic mind. And the fact that she was able to figure out, you know, this whole thing and actually kind of get Tamar on board, was just, I was very impressed with her, and I'm really glad she's turned it on. I hope this isn't just, you know, a one-time thing. I hope she really keeps pushing for it, and I hope she really tries. And, you know, I would have been interested to see what would have happened had anybody else that was playing won the veto. But, yes. You know.
Brent, do we have any insight into what would have happened if the veto was won by either Tom or Kato or even Candy?
My understanding is that Natalie or Ricky would have gone up as a pawn, and they were still going to send whatever part of Tomato didn't win the veto home. Mm-hmm. So I will say that I missed about 4 hour of feeds today because I was casinoing, but that's my understanding of what happened. Okay. And I don't think anything changed because the feeds weren't on for the most part.
Yeah, feeds were off for a while.
Melissa, why was it Tom who was spared and not Kato, where Tom, that Julie even called out Tom Green and said, boy, Tom, that sounds like a, you know, resignation. And he's like, I have a feeling, Julie. And then it turned out that it was Kato.
Well, first of all, Kato is a much bigger threat to all of them than Tom is. They feel like Kato has the most winner's equity and that he wins the most competitions and he's the scariest player there. Whereas Tom, I don't feel like they're as threatened by him. In regards to Tom's speech, though, he had recently been talking to Kato and he had told Kato, like, hey, I think that what you need to do in this scenario is pretend like you don't really care about the game and that you don't really care about winning. And I think that that makes you seem like less of a threat. Because in their speeches, they were going to say, like Kato was talking about saying something like, oh, I hope you win, Tom, or something like that. And Tom was like, don't say that. Like, we can't say those things because that will make us appear to be a bigger threat because it shows that the jury is on our side. So he really was kind of getting it when it comes to what to say and what not to say in speeches. Normally, I don't really like these sorts of speeches that are like concession speeches where they're just like, you know, this has been a great run and, you know, I'm going to miss every single one of you. Like, I really don't like those. But in this situation, I could see the logic behind it because he's trying not to appear like a big threat and trying to convince everybody else to keep him. So I really understood his logic here, even though normally I'd be a little annoyed.
Yeah, Rob, it was like shades of Big Meech in the speeches. Like, hello, I'm going home. Thanks, it's been fun. And they're like, nope, we're keeping you. We think we can beat you. Stay on. You're staying in the house. And,
yeah.
He was shocked, I could tell.
And Kato Kaelin had a rather insane, you know, 12 minutes of television from the eviction speech on. Kato Kaelin started talking about, he's like, there's a play by Carl Reiner. And he goes into that and for Tom, he said this, and I don't even know what he's talking about here.
A lot of people, I was loyal to him. They wanted me to throw under the bus. A, I would never do it. And B, Tom, my driver's bus expired, my license 2 years ago. You were safe.
Yeah, my driver's bus expired my license 2 years ago.
I mean, Rob.
I think the words are jumbled.
But we can unscramble them. It's like a veto for us.
Yeah, I think it's just wordplay.
The thing is, we didn't need to unscramble them, Melissa. What he said first was freaking great. After Tom gave that rambling speech, Kato just got up there and said, what Tom said, great!
Yeah, that would have been awesome. Same.
Get the hell down! And then he's got, oh, no, I'm just kidding. I'm like, no. No, shut up.
A lot of people, I was loyal to him. They wanted me to throw under the bus. A, I would never do it. And B, Tom, my driver's bus expired my license 2 years ago. You were safe.
Yeah, it's not like one word was out.
I think if we unscramble it,
yeah,
there's something hidden in there. It's a secret message to Tom.
All right. And then he comes out of the house and he's like, how does the door, do I open it? Who opens it? So like, we've never had this problem before with, well, how does the door work? You open it, leave. And
then, just go out the door.
And then he goes to hug Julie Chen. I've never seen Julie more scared with a house guest. She was like, I don't know. No, thank you. She like gave him the hug where like her butt is like 4 feet outside so of the hug. Uh-huh, yeah. Like, okay, I'll touch your shoulders here. Yeah. And then he sat down with her and she was asking him about being friends with Tom in the house. And he said,
20 days, you really get to know someone you're bunking next. We slept together.
She's like, all right, let's
get that, Kato.
Well, no, there was this. We had it with the one time in the HOH. You put pillows between us, and I had.
The internet saw it too.
Yeah, you saw that.
Yep.
Whoa.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. I mean, like I said, he's better when he talks less. But the interview with Julie was actually really, really fun. She seemed to be having a good time. He's just like, I flash back to what Tamar said when she was like, how did he, so speaking of Kato Kaelin, how did he pass the celebrity part of the audition? And I'm like, he's like a kind of normal guy being thrust into like the biggest trial of the century and is continue to live his life. So I feel like he's still kind of quirky and fun like that.
Yeah.
You know?
What was he like on the witness stand?
I mean, he was quirky and fun too. He was an airhead. I was better.
You had a more memorable appearance on the witness stand. So Mr. Kaelin, on the night in question, what did you hear when Mr. Simpson returned to the house?
The buzzer, I was right there and I was thinking, I knew it was going to be A. I said, it's going to be A. They haven't used A yet.
Kato. Really, really?
She's like, okay, enough.
Oh, Melissa, he's not lying though. If he buzzes in with A, oh my God, no, Licky is on the block.
Oh, yeah. I honestly was on the edge of my seat this whole episode. I was like frozen in fear. I was so stressed out. And then after the veto, it was like, oh, okay, never mind. It doesn't really matter. Like, okay. But for like half the episode, I was totally invested.
And I just so excited. Say, but Rob, that was a great veto draw for
my God. It couldn't have gone better for them. They had the best veto draw. I was literally thinking to myself, all they have to do is beat Lolo. Because honestly, if Tamar got it, I think Candy could have convinced her to use it. Like, I honestly think something could have happened. I don't think it was like they were drawing dead if Tamar won it. So literally all they had to do was beat Lolo. And not only that, this was like a comedian competition where you watch a comedy show.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even understand. It's like, oh my God, this is for Tom and Cato. This is them. This is their veto. And then it was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. And for Cato, all he had to do was witness events happening and then reliably be able to recount the events. If you're OJ, I think you got to be like, hey, get this guy back out here. He's not reliable. He can't remember things that happened.
Oh God, it really was built for them.
I will say that Tamar really wanted Cato out, so I don't, if she won the veto, I don't think there's any way she was using it. I think
but there was a chance at least.
Yeah, yes. There was possibly a chance. I think if Tom won the veto, if Cato won the veto, that's where possibly Natalie Eva Marie goes up. Doom reminds me in the chat that Natalie Eva Marie probably would have gone home if she was up against Tom. But I don't think that it necessarily would have been that way if anybody else was on the box.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, like, consider the fact that the other possibility is that Ricky, Lolo, and Natalie all play in veto, and it's like there's no chance there. And so this was just, I saw the players for veto, and I was just like, all right, we got this. This is a very exciting episode. We're about to see some fireworks. And then it was like, nothing.
So, Brent, was this all everything about, okay, we're going to put Cato on the block. We're going to go after Cato. Can't let Cato win the HOH. Cato should go home over Tom Green. Is this all going back to the Tamar being upset about the Miss Cleo slur in the house?
No, not just that. The celebrities had, Nolicki and crowd, had come to view Cato as sort of being alpha to Tom, and I know that's sort of weird to think about on the outside, but he was coming off that way in the house. Add to the fact that he's a pretty physical guy and won a physical competition, and Tom has done a pretty good job of sort of giving up. I mean, he's not giving up, but he's sort of been acting that way. I think there have been times where he has given up in the house, but then there have been other times where I think he was maybe laying it on a little bit thick. And I think they were also really pissed off at Cato from that conversation that he had with Lolo, where he banged on the table a couple times and then lied about it afterwards. I mean, you know, I can't remember if it was like one or two, but they were convinced that it was more than one. And he kept saying it was one. And he wouldn't own his shit to them. So they wanted to get him out of the house. And that combined with the fact that they felt he was running the show with him and Tom meant Cato was going to be out if he didn't win the veto. And he didn't.
Melissa, and would you say that this is a mistake that Tom has more win equity than Cato does?
I do think Tom has more win equity. And I think it's a situation where if they got Tom out first, I don't see a situation where Cato can really find a way to work with these people at all or like finagle his way to the end. Whereas I think Tom, I think he has the possibility to work with them. And I think that they don't nearly see him as much of a threat. So if anything happens between the three, the Nolicki team or whatever, and they're all extremely volatile. So anything could happen between them and to break up this alliance at any minute, literally any minute. So if anything happens, I think Tom can kind of slip in there and like find his way. Whereas I don't really see Cato bonding with any of them or like really having a good, I just don't see a path forward there.
Yeah.
So Tom, I think, has a better chance.
I mean, I don't think this was close. This is a huge mistake letting Tom stay. I don't know what they were thinking. They had it right a week ago when they wanted to evict Tom first and then Cato. Mm-hmm. Cato is not going to do anything in this house. He's not going to. He doesn't have the respect of anybody in the house. Tom, they have been mad at Tom. And of course, they've cut him chauvinist. They called him threatening and whatever. Okay, a lot of untrue stuff. But he has not reacted badly to any of that stuff. He has kept his head about him. And I think that has earned him a little bit of grudging respect from a few people in the house. And I do feel like he could make his way to the end if things break right for him here. Now, he's going to have to dodge a bullet this week. If somebody from Nolicki wins HOH, he's definitely going on the block. And there's a fine chance that he could go home. But if he can survive this week, and things get shaken up a little bit, and people have to betray each other is what they said they were going to do, then there's a path for it.
I mean, I also think we saw even just at the end of this episode when they were doing like, what, like, you know, let's eavesdrop on the house guests. Mm-hmm. We already saw Ricky talking to Tom and being like, look, I'm not as shady or whatever he said as you may think. And he's like, no, I know. And they were kind of like chatting. And then, you know, Lolo and Natalie were kind of joking with Tom about like, oh, you thought you were leaving and now you're here, haha, or whatever. And I just felt like it. There was a possibility for Tom to kind of just blend into the background a little bit. I mean, it's a very slim possibility.
Slim possibility.
There's a possibility that he could. And, you know, you never know with Lolo, Lolo especially, and, you know, Ricky, I could totally see Ricky turning on Lolo and Natalie, Marie being like, okay, we're like nearing the end. I should like go with Candy and Tamar. I could totally see that happening. So I think that there is some... there's some way that Tom can work his way in this. I mean, because honestly, all the stuff that was said about Kato and Tom, it was all this like villainizing stuff where they were just trying to make them out to look bad. I don't think that Tom and Kato are these villains that No Licky is trying to make them out to be. It was honestly, this past week has been very, very hard to watch on feeds. It's gotten so brutal and so just uncomfortable. It's very personal, and I'm very surprised that this is happening during a celebrity season, because you'd think that they'd try and you know, maintain their reputations, or like, mm-hmm. you know, leave the house, you know, with people still liking them. I feel like that would be important to them because they're celebrities. But okay, it was very shades of Big Brother 19, and that was a very hard season for me to get through. So it's been
rough. Couple things. Number one, I actually don't believe that was Ricky trying to be nice to Tom. I think he was actually trying to start something. The chat's actually also saying that. I think he was Ricky is like the king of passive aggressive, and I take your point. Maybe he was being authentic there, but he hasn't really been authentic with Tom at all.
Tom did react well to it.
Tom reacted well to it. I'll give Tom like that as well. Yes. And I also want to say something else. I've been getting a lot of messages from people who are, they're not really thrilled with Taryn's view on things, and they think he's pro-Tom.
And they know where to go with those opinions.
My defense of Tom at various times does not mean I am pro-Tom. I am not pro-Tom. And for that matter, I don't think Taryn is pro-Tom either, but be that as it may, I am not pro-Tom, and anything I say, I'm trying to call him as I see him. I think that Tom has played a very messy game, and I also think at times he has not behaved well, especially during the past week. He is not innocent in all of this, but I think he's more innocent than Lolo and Natalie, Eva Marie, and that's important.
Okay. All right. I want to go back to, Melissa, what you were saying about how that you think that it's possible that Ricky could turn on Natalie, Eva Marie, and Lolo potentially. Do you think, is it possible another way out for Tom? Could he potentially be able to start the war between No Licky and then Tamar and Candy and Dina, and then have the two sides of the house potentially firing at each other where he remains safe this week?
I think it's possible. I think that's asking a lot, because you've got Dina and Candy over there on one side, and like, I don't think either of them are very likely to win head of household. It's possible. And if they do, that's amazing. But I just feel like those two are not super likely to win HOH. If anything, I would say someone on that side winning HOH would be Tom. So he'll end up right in the middle of the action all over again if he wins HOH. So
go out in the second part of the double eviction.
Right. So I just think that that is what I would love to see. I would absolutely love to see a situation where there's two sides of the house, and it's not just like, okay, now we get out Tom. Now next we get out Dina. Now next we get out Candy. Now next we get out Tamar. Now we're just the three of us or whatever. It's just like, that's something that's so boring to me. So I'd like to see a more even playing field.
Let me tell you how bad this could get, because I started the show complaining about Tamar and her decisions this week. If Tom wins the veto this week and one of No Licky is in power, who do you think's going home? Do you think Candy's going home? Do you think Dina's going home? Or do we think Tamar is going home? Because one of them has to go home if Tom wins the veto. I think Tamar would go home, which would just show what a boneheaded move this was. In fact, I love Tamar, but she deserves to go home after this boneheaded move. I hope it doesn't happen, but if it happens, I told you so.
Okay. We'll see what happens. Yeah. So crucial HOH for Tom that yes, it would, he would be safe. Would it be a bad spot for him to be in coming out of this HOH? Does that almost ensure that he's going home in the second part of the double eviction if he wins this HOH?
I think at this point, in order for Tom to stay, it's like he's got to win either a veto or an HOH. I just think that it's getting into really dicey waters here. I mean, unless Candy can win HOH, then if Candy wins HOH, then there's a chance that he could survive the double eviction.
Yeah.
But if you have like a low HOH or something, I feel like if that's going to go really poorly for him.
MK Caden in the... In the chat says, Tamar goes home, wigs stay in the house. She's been looking fine with those wigs, I have to
say. It's a good wig.
Wigs are amazing.
I didn't love the blonde, but I love the weave tonight. That was looking straight. That was great. RuPaul's Drag Race can't even do hair like that.
So, Brett, is it crazy for me to say that Tom Green is better off, if he could only win one, he's better off winning the veto this week than the HOH?
Yeah, actually, I do think that's true. Yeah, I don't, because I mean, like, I feel like the move is made for him, whether he's HOH or not. If somebody from, you know, that side, his side of things, Candy, Dina, Tom, they're all going to go after No Licky. So there's no point in him really being HOH. I mean, obviously, if he has to win it, he has to win it because he doesn't want to go on the block. But I would much rather him just have the veto or not even have to worry at all and just wait for HOH next week during the double, or next week, quote unquote, during the double eviction. Because if he's HOH this week and then he can't play during the double eviction, I feel like it's James Maslow all over again and he'll go out during the double.
I just want to talk from a structural point of view in terms of these episodes. So we've had a lot of live veto competitions on these eviction night episodes where normally that's not something we have on the eviction night. We usually have the eviction then followed by a live HOH. Melissa, do you prefer the format change here in Celebrity Big Brother with a live veto competition in the middle of the episode followed by an eviction and then the interview to close the episode, or do you prefer, or would you rather have the veto episode already aired and then we come in and then we have the vote and then we end the show with a live HOH competition?
So for the episode itself, for the episode watching, it's exciting because you don't know what's going to happen coming into the episode and anything could happen after the veto. And then, you know, that's exciting because you kind of get to see everything play out all at once. But for feed watching, it's absolutely awful. It's total garbage because literally that makes today totally pointless. So nothing that's going on after the nominations matters at all because you're like, okay, well, what's really going to matter is the veto. And we're not going to see any strategy talk after the veto. So
unless you're Tom. Tom tells his backdoor plans before the veto.
Yeah, exactly. So basically you get nothing. So the feeds today were like totally boring and pointless because we didn't know everything was dependent on who won the veto. And so if you don't get to know who won the veto until the episode, then there's no point in even watching the feed. So it really is super lame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, super lame. Yeah, Rob, but I don't like this.
It's very exciting. It's like watching a double eviction. Love it.
Yeah. I mean, like, I guess the episode's okay. You and I said we were both checked out after a half hour because we know the layout of the house and we saw who won the veto. And we're like, we know what's going to happen now. So I much prefer more of the power is decided with an HOH. A veto just means, you know, A or B goes home. But with an HOH, an entire side could be safe or an entire side could be up for grabs or up for eviction. So I much prefer a live HOH. That's a lot more fun. That's classic Big Brother anyway.
Okay. So, Brent, were you familiar with the works of Gallagher?
I have seen commercials, like long form commercials for Gallagher. Like, you know, remember, I'm 44 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He did Geico commercials.
Did he?
I'm not talking about way before that, where like they would advertise his comedy shows and they would do it during like daytime game shows. Mm-hmm.
That's how they got you.
Yeah, so I'm a game show fan, and so they would show these, like, you know, 3-5 minute long commercials, sometimes even like maybe a half hour, I'm trying to remember, of Gallagher. And like the last I saw Gallagher, bitch had red hair.
I don't think he never had red hair.
Black hair.
He said like
black hair. I'm thinking of
Carrot Top. Yeah, Gallagher same idea. Very similar. Very similar. Prop comic. Yeah.
I am familiar with Gallagher.
I mixed up Gallagher and Carrot Top.
Oh, I'm pretty sure Carrot Top was probably in Geico commercials as well. I feel like everyone is, but
nevertheless.
I know Gallagher, and because of, you know, the cultural reference, you got to know what's going on in the world, I guess, whatever. But this guy, I don't get it. I'm sorry. It's like, it must just be something that I just don't, it doesn't.
You don't get Gallagher's humor.
I don't get it at all. It's like,
what's not to get, Melissa?
Why is smashing stuff funny? It's not.
You have to be in the audience. You have to have like the plastic sheet. Yeah. I did mix him up with Carrot Top, but I was remembering the correct Gallagher with the smashing of like the pumpkins and the people with the plastic over them in the audience. So, yes, if you're there in the audience, it's fun. If you're watching it at home, it's boring as hell.
Well, yeah. See, in the 70s, I think there was no YouTube. So if you wanted to see what it looked like to see objects smashed with a giant mallet, you had to go give Gallagher $15 and go sit there with a poncho on so you weren't going to get fruit smashed on you. How did CBS, Fly on the Wall Entertainment, how did they come up with an idea for a competition of let's get Gallagher in here for the veto competition?
I don't know. It was kind of awkward. He wasn't even that good live.
I couldn't even understand what he was saying. I couldn't either. So like, old.
I was like, is this supposed to be for the competition? Because I can't hear you. And then the celebrities, they're not even watching. They're just covering their eyes most of the time.
Gallagher did not look good.
He did not. He looked like a corpse. He was a corpse. Just saying.
Why not just cast him? In the show,
maybe he was like in the running, and then they're like
as a consolation prize.
Okay,
smash some items. I just don't get it. I don't get it.
Melissa does not like Gallagher.
Okay,
he's probably very nice guy.
I'm sure. Melissa, here's what I will do for you because that I made you sit through Ricky Williams and Kato Kaelin and the colon a week ago. I'm going to save the rest of this Gallagher discussion for the winter of Stein with Eric Stein. and I will have the rest of the Gallagher conversation with Eric Stein tomorrow on the podcast for you, Melissa.
I hope Eric can explain it to me.
We will do that. We'll do that next time.
I'm sorry. Before you move on, Rob, I wanted to bring up something really quick. Taryn had talked about on the live feeds that, you know, Tom and Kato had been going on about the fact that the house really celebrated when Tamar won her HOH competition, and that's when they really ostracized Tomato, and you know, like they were sitting in their bedroom and Tom and Keanu were sitting in their bedroom, and we were like, from the retells of it, it sounded like the celebration was a bit much. Having watched it, it was a bit much, but having been a longtime Big Brother fan, I have seen way worse. So for celebrities, I can understand why they were a little bit peeved. It did go on a little bit much.
I mean, we've seen that on just about every season of the Real Big Brother. One side of the house celebrates too much when somebody wins the HOH. Yes. No big deal. Lolo won a competition, and as I tweeted, yes, this is the first medal in Lolo Jones's career.
Oh my gosh, she held that post forever, and I love it because Julie took so long to read the results that like Lolo was literally in that weird flex pose for like, I don't know, like 20 seconds, looking like a douche.
I kind of liked it. I'm not gonna lie, I kind of liked it. I'm just gonna say honestly, I was sad that she won it because I was hoping that something exciting was gonna happen and someone was gonna use the veto, and I knew what the result would be if she won it. Well, but I just loved it. She already knew she had it. She's just like,
So that Julie was getting mad, everybody was like changing their things, and she needed to see them. Like, guys, stop touching it. Stop it. Stop. Leave your thing. And everybody's score was up there on the board. It's like 4-3-3-4. I haven't seen this many fours and threes since the LFC Roundtable Stockwatch last week.
That's a fair. Oh, boom, boom, boom. Thank you. He's here all week, folks.
I think it's going to be even lower on Wednesday.
Lower.
I've just been like, it's going to be like two.
Rob, our own Matt Lagori, brought up the fact that Julie keeps telling him to wait till I tell you to reset before turning your boxes around. And then she never tells him to turn her boxes around.
Look, so they just sit there with it.
But I thought I was being all funny talking about Lolo's first medal. It wasn't lost on Lolo.
It's like an Olympic medal. I didn't know.
What did she say about an Olympic medal?
Yeah.
What did she say?
She said it was like an Olympic medal, the veto.
Like an Olympic medal, folks. Oh my God.
She finally won a medal.
Just like it.
That's why she wouldn't use it. She didn't want to give it away to anybody.
Mine.
I want to give it up.
Mine.
There was no chance for Lolo. Also, I thought this was funny. Dina Lohan in the veto in the HOH competition, when they showed the magazines of everybody, Dina Lohan buzzed in and wanted to go with the Jonathan Bennett magazine because
I see Jonathan playing video games. I miss him in the house so much, so I just pick me.
Okay, that competition was ridiculous because they all looked like Photoshop fails to me.
Yeah,
they looked pretty bad.
Every single one of them. Like, they showed Jonathan with the video game, and it looked so poorly Photoshopped.
That looks,
and
I missed him.
Like, so that's the photo. That's the problem one, right?
He wouldn't be playing video games. I picked that one.
I just want to point out that Dina Lohan is your current front runner for the jury.
To win.
Biggest jury threat.
Well, you know what? Is she throwing the competition, or is she just giving shout-outs to? You know who else I really liked? Ryan Lochte. I liked him.
It's jury management. She's got it down.
She's got it down.
Every single confessional will just be her talking about some prior house guest and how much she loves them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. By the way, Dina, I miss Jonathan too. I think he was a bright light. I mean, it was fun to see him get evicted first because I think he kind of had it coming in some ways. But I do miss he was a ball of fun and he loved being there. And some of these people can just really grate on my nerves, Rob. So you know. What kind of show?
The magazines were ridiculous. Even the one that Tamar won on, she's like, something looks that doesn't look right. That it didn't seem like she actually saw anything. She's like, I don't think that they would go sledding.
Honestly, I was trying to figure out what was wrong with them, and I was like, it looks like all of them are wrong.
Yes, I was at home pausing it, going trying to figure out which one was the wrong one. And I had all the time in the world, and I still couldn't figure out what was the wrong thing.
They just all look bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. With the weird posters.
More people didn't get it wrong. Yeah.
Also tonight, from just going back to Julie and her and interviewing Cato, she asked Cato, why get an alliance with Natalie, Eva Marie, and Lolo? Why did you work with them, Cato?
Why did you align with Lolo and Natalie, Eva Marie?
Because they're beautiful!
He's insane. But she has a fair point. I like how she's shading Natalie, Eva Marie, and Lolo by asking him that question. She's basically, why did you align with two backstabbing losers? Why did you do that, Cato?
Because they're beautiful!
God.
I don't like that.
Yeah.
Like,
it sounded
or something like, because they're beautiful, everyone, you, right?
It's like, it was a little pervy.
He's such a ham.
He's such a ham.
Yeah.
And then he's like, Julie, you're so beautiful. Yeah. Like, oh my God.
That was more pervy.
Kate, like, calm down. You are famous because you were subletting from a guy who murdered his wife. Like, calm down.
It's like, that's enough. Shh.
Calm down, Cato. Yeah. From one pan man to another. Like, just bring it down enough. You're like, you're on an 18. Like, turn it down, Cato.
You know what? I will say that, like, you know, I did enjoy Cato on this season. I felt like I was surprised with how much he came to play. I feel like when I saw the preseason stuff, I was kind of like, oh boy, this guy's going to, you know, this is just over already before it begins. But then he actually was doing a good job. I really liked his friendship with Tom. I'm actually sad to see him go. I was hoping that something would happen and he and Tom would both be able to stay this week and kind of keep the sides even. So, you know, I'm disappointed about that. He's a little much.
He's a lot much. He's a lot much.
And I do like the way that he spoke to Dina at times. Like, he's very condescending to her. Very condescending. And I really don't think he's a very great communicator. And I think that was part of his downfall because he just didn't know how to speak with people about things. And you kind of needed Tom there to kind of step in and turn the conversation in a good, happy direction, whereas Cato would just, like, destroy everything.
Yeah, but Melissa, they needed each other, because Cato was the one who was stopping Tom wanted to backdoor Ricky during week two. And when Cato was HOH, and Cato was like, absolutely not. We're not going to do that.
They did need each other, for sure.
Yeah,
They need each other, but yet they didn't seem to really do each other any good, because fast forward to week three, Tom is the HOH, and he wants to backdoor Ricky, and now Cato's on board with it, and he should have stopped him and said, no, this is a bad idea. We should not tell the girls that we want to backdoor Ricky, at least before the veto competition is played out. That was their – of all the things that they did wrong, this was their
biggest mistake. I feel like they would go over these ideas and they would take turns on going with, like, the worst idea. So it was like one of them would have, like, a good idea and the other one would have a bad idea, and they'd pick the bad idea.
Yeah,
and
it
was like, if only they just went with the other idea.
Yeah, if one bad idea was A and then the more bad idea was B.
The buzzer, I was right there and I was thinking, I knew it was going to be A. I said, it's going to be A. They haven't used A yet.
Cato.
Really? Really?
That's exactly what it was. It was like they would talk so much and you'd be like, they'd say so many different ideas, and then you'd hear a good idea and you'd be like, oh, there it is. That's the idea. That's the idea. And then they'd kind of pass over it for the next idea. And it was kind of just like feeling out where the ideas are. And instead of picking the right idea that they did land on at one point, they would just go with an idea that hurt their game.
And you saw Tom Green and Cato, both of them, like, a couple times in the competition, they were like turning the thing back and forth, and then, like, inevitably, like, it'll put it on the wrong one.
Yeah, it was like all of a sudden Cato would have the right one, and then he'd flip it back and they'd be on the same.
Oh, wait, I think I have the right one. Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's take some questions from the listeners here tonight. And why don't we start off with, our listeners are working hard, intrepid listeners, tweeting, live tweeting the show. Here is the Melissa Bot with a tweet on the show tonight. At Melissa Bot says, I hope Cato stays. Hashtag BB Celeb.
Yeah, and the Melissa Bot asked which was more boring, the Melissa Bot's tweet or the Super Bowl.
There you go.
Yeah. Julie is not giving out any information about the Super Bowl, Brent.
That was kind of mean. I didn't understand her trolling.
No, she was being, she doesn't, she's like, I can tell you it was the most boring Super Bowl ever. And fair. Maroon 5 really stunk it up. There's nothing fun. You guys are very lucky. You didn't have to watch it.
It was weird because Pop TV gave
the
them
Rams didn't show up.
Pop TV gave them cupcakes the other day, of the two teams, and told them which teams were playing in it. And it was supposed to be, I thought, that Julie was going to reveal who won, and then didn't.
She didn't want to depress everybody.
Yeah, I thought they all thought that Julie was going to reveal who won, but then she didn't. So, yeah.
It was very weird, too. It was like she was going to, and then she was like, I'm hearing in my headpiece that I'm not going to say anything, so we're just going to move on.
Yeah. No programming in her ear.
No programming in my ear. How about next year Gallagher for the Super Bowl halftime show?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I don't think Melissa's on board with that, Rob.
I'm not on board.
Yeah. Bring out, like, hey, what's this? Guacamole? Okay. All right.
We'll smash your favorite Super Bowl snack.
Are those Tostitos? Okay. All right. Let's go to another question. And check this out. Here is now at Tender Taryn with a also getting in there. What does it say? I'm so nervous for Tom. Hashtag BB Celeb. So are Tender Taryn and the Melissa Bot the Team Fun supporters? Is that what they're, are they working together?
Literally, the key to getting your tweet on is just tweet the most mundane, boring.
They got it. They
like
got it.
Just vague tweet. Like,
don't say boring tweets.
I love this show. I love this competition.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you have to do in order to get your tweet on the show.
Are there any fake Brent accounts on social media?
The chat is talking about that right now.
Yeah, how come is the real one. Brent just so active on?
If there was one, he tweeted like one time. I mean, I take it as a badge of honor that there is no. I mean, Rob, it is pointless to have a parody of me. I am the parody, for God's sake.
Okay. All right. Let's go to more questions. Kyle says, does tonight's episode show why Big Brother cannot work for a single episode format compared to Survivor when showing the HOH and veto competitions along with the eviction? I don't know if tonight's episode.
Melissa, I don't know if you agree, but I felt like we got more strategy. I know Taryn definitely agrees. He tweeted it out. We got more strategy talk in this episode than we did in other episodes where we had a lot more time.
All you have to do is cut out the colon segment.
Yeah. I know you guys are down in terms of the show versus the live feeds in terms of, you know, what they're able to show. But I feel like that the shows have been pretty good lately.
The shows have been,
if you're just watching the TV show, if you are somebody, watching whatever, however many hours a week, I think you've been entertained.
My mom is a casual. She's been entertained. She's asked me a few questions, but overall she's had a great time. So I think they're winning with the casuals, with their bread and butter fans who they kind of need to look to a little bit more. I feel like sometimes I feel like they're doing not such a great job. Like, we've lost a lot of great content over the past week and a half that just totally ended up on the cutting room floor. Having said that, there was a lot of it, and so I understand.
I also think that this is a unique situation because this is Big Brother Celebrity versus regular Big Brother, where they literally don't care about people's reputations. So I think that if this were regular Big Brother, there would be a lot more confrontation shown, a lot more of the drama. Not necessarily that that's something that makes a good show for me, but I think a lot of the strategy has come from this drama. So I think that the reasoning behind some of these decisions is not being accurately portrayed. And it's kind of like, wait, what? Why is so-and-so against so-and-so now? It's just like, it's not really fully explaining it, because in order to fully explain it, you're going to make some people look really bad.
Right, exactly. That's what they're trying to avoid, Rob. They took the celebrities into the diary room like a couple days ago, and they said, you know, remember, this is a fun game. Try and tone down the volume just a little bit. So they don't want them to look bad. And on a normal season, they would just let them all hang out to dry because they don't give a hell. They don't give anything about those people on BB19 and BB20.
Right. And I understand that the live feeders are frustrated because it's not what a regular season, what you're used to in terms of people playing hard. And but I'm just saying that for the what they're getting for the TV show, I think that they're probably very happy with what they have for the show.
But I also think if you compare this with last Big Brother Celebrity, like if we're going to even just like take out regular Big Brother, just because it's such a different animal, and we're only going to compare to Big Brother Celebrity, last season was like 700 million times better than this season.
Yep, that's fair.
The episodes were hilarious. Yep. When it came to some of the segments they would show, they were funny segments.
Yeah.
I feel like they accurately portrayed the strategy. I feel like there were good diary room sessions where you really got to get a good feel for what people were thinking. Whereas this season, I just feel like it's all over the place. And I feel like the little like filler segments, which are normally like kind of entertaining, are just like so bad.
Well, I don't remember how they did the competitions last season, but in terms of the schedule, I mean, we have these nights where in a 1 hour episode, we're getting two competitions and an eviction. And so there's not really a lot of time left for that. I remember last season they were doing, I think it was 2 hours on Friday every single week. So we would have, it would be like 2 hours on Friday for one eviction where we would get a lot of what was going on, have like a night or two during the week, and then ultimately, you know, an eviction on a Monday and an eviction on a Friday. But here we're getting like, you know, a almost every episode we've had an eviction recently. And then it's sort of we have a veto, an HOH, and a live eviction in these episodes.
It's tough because my least favorite part of Big Brother are the competitions.
Right.
I care nothing for the competitions. Like, literally, you could take them out and
spin a wheel. Like, okay. Here's new HOH.
People's names. Right. Yeah. That would be fine with me because I don't care at all about these competitions. Like, sometimes I fast forward them if I'm not on a podcast that night. So, like, the fact that, like, the episode is like 75% competitions really is you know, a turn off for me.
Well, I will say that with this week coming up, that there is a chance that that does change a bit. We have Thursday night is not a eviction episode, although we probably will get the HOH and the veto episode competition in that episode. But we have a 2-hour episode coming up on the double eviction. So 2 hours for the double eviction feels like that we can pick up some time there for stuff besides competitions. Okay. Jessica says, was Tom purposely yelling fun, fun, fun when he hosted the HOH competition to poke fun at Lolo?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I can't read his mind, but that would be my read on the situation, that it's gotten pretty caustic between those two sides. And I think two things was happening. Number one, I think he was poking a little fun and trolling them a little bit. And number two, I think the celebrities weren't giving him any energy whatsoever. Like that point in time where he's like, okay, I thought that was worth some applause, but I guess not.
They hate him so much. They're like, we're not even listening to you host this competition. Screw you, Tom. Okay. This is one from Andrew. Have you noticed that they changed the angle of when the house guests leave now? So holding the door open thing can come to an end. Brent, is that true?
They have changed the angle at least a couple times that I've seen. But as I tweeted to Andrew when I saw this tweet earlier before the show, that's not going to stop them from holding the door open because the people inside the house are so flipping bored. They don't care about the camera that's there in the studio. They care about the people in the audience. They just want to see the studio audience and see Julie. So that's the reason they're holding the door open. And by the way, Ricky was asking Kato to hold the door open. He's like, and he said it like 2 or 3 times. Like, hey, can you hold the door open? I would have shut that door in his face. You guys have been awful to me. Why the hell am I going to show? Why am I going to hold the door open for you? That's what I would have said. Honestly, get me out of here.
Okay. All right. Question from Mindy. It seems like that they are playing Celebrity Big Brother US 2 in an alternate universe. Tom loses a veto featuring a comedian to Lolo. Maybe if Big Brother had pulled out hurdles tonight, Tom would have won. The great Jessica Lisa calls this a 5-hole task. Going back to, I believe, an Amazing Race Canada, where if they have a challenge that is seems like it's exactly catered for you to win it, and then you lose it. She coined that term, a 5-hole, and that's what this might have been for Tom Gray.
Okay. I can buy that. Yeah, also a memory competition. He's a smart guy. Like, I don't understand why he did so badly. Although, to be fair, I watched Gallagher to a T, and I feel like I missed a lot of those questions too. So. Oh, well.
Okay. Ian wants to know, should they have had Gallagher smash a tomato? Seems like a missed opportunity.
Missed opportunity.
I was really glad Julie told Kato their alliance name.
Mm-hmm.
Tomato.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You guys like tomatoes?
Oh, my God. Natalie and Tamar would just been rolling for that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gallagher should have brought my draft team out. Like, hey, you guys want to see me smash a draft team?
Mooch, are you kidding? You bought that?
For the record, Mooch, I should get a mulligan on the Mooch. Turns out he wasn't even a real house guest. Okay. All right.
One person who does not get a mulligan is Taryn Armstrong picking Jonathan Bennett with the first pick.
Hey, it's my draft team right now. It's Lolo or GTFO.
Good
my
luck,
draft
Mom.
Team is killing it.
Yep, yeah, Melissa's looking good. Melissa could be going on a run here. Okay, let's see. This is Crazy Mean Mommy. What could go wrong? Wasn't Natalie Eva Marie's conversation with Tamar about keeping Candy more threatening than anything Kato or Tom have ever done?
I would agree.
Yeah, now Eva Marie did. I was surprised that Tamar took that so well.
I was surprised she took it so well too, Melissa.
I don't think that anything that Tom or Cato have done can be considered threatening.
I mean, it's all, look, here's the thing. It's all in the eye of the beholder. If you don't like them, it can appear threatening. If you do like them or you don't care about them, it's probably going to come off as non-threatening. I'll just say this. I'm not a fan of Tom. I'm defending him and I'm not against him, but
fancy Fencerton, ladies and gentlemen.
I am, because I'm objective and I'm just calling him as I see him. And the fact that when Tom was talking with Tamar and trying to figure out, when he went crazy about the power, that was his undoing. And he started behaving like a bit of a madman. And you could take some of the things that he did as threatening you within the game, not physically threatening you, but threatening you within the game. And that some of the house guests did not take kindly to that. And that's where it began to unravel for him.
Okay. All right, Scott, we got anything else? All right. I think we're going to start to wrap things up. Let's see. Rick, yeah, who has better hair, Joey or Gallagher? Come on.
Oh, come on.
Come on. Bathman.
Question?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, Brent, what do you want to say?
I was just going to say, like, Pip, you in the chat is saying not necessarily, quote, threatening. Yeah, he was threatening in quotes, but not really threatening. That's the key with Tom.
Okay. All right. We're going to start to wrap things up, Scott. Brett, anything else from tonight that we did need to touch on?
Well, nothing really. I did want to touch on that conversation that Natalie had with Tamar. I can see somebody in the chat. This is me in Indy says that the conversation that Natalie had with Tamar was gross, made me dislike her. Believe it or not, it actually made me like her a little bit more, because she is still playing balls out. I mean, she's playing a horrible game. I don't think it's a winning Big Brother game on Celebrity Big Brother. She's talking a lot of trash about people. That girl is hungry to win. She wants things done her way. She is a strong woman, and she's not putting up with any bullshit. And she went in there and said, look, if this doesn't happen, we got problems. And I feel like that if a man went in there and said something like that, I feel like that they'd be like, oh, well, he's exerting his will in the house. The fact that she went in there, people have a problem with. So, no, I'm not going to get on her for that. There are plenty of other things to get on her for. That part was fine to me.
Okay. All right. Melissa, anything? Any other final thoughts tonight?
I'm not a huge fan of some of the language that's being used in the house to describe what's going on. They're saying, like, you know, bullying, threatening, like, aggressive. I just feel like that sort of stuff is not to be used lightly. And I think that they're using it extremely lightly. And I think that they are throwing these words around in accusations that will follow people. And I think that that's in really poor taste, considering that I don't think anything that Tom or Cato has done in the house could be considered to be that. Mm-hmm. I just feel like there's also language about, like, chauvinism and, like, all these, like, you know, whatever. I don't like it, and I think that it's not a good look to be throwing that stuff around, and I don't think that anything that has been done in the house so far should follow anyone for the rest of their lives or should ruin their career.
Yeah, I will say that. I think that there's two points where this stuff will follow a person that happens in Big Brother. One, if it's on the TV show, and then two, if it gets picked up by, like, the TMZs of the world, where then you Google the person, it's like the top result. So until either of those things happen, I don't think there's anything from the live feeds that is going to go on and haunt any of the Celebrity Big Brother contestants outside of the Celebrity Big Brother house.
Yeah, and Melissa's correct. I don't like those words coming up, because I feel like they're buzzwords in social media, like they're dog whistle words. Like, when you say threatening, we know what you're talking about. Now, you may say, well, I wasn't talking about that, but you're using that word and you know what that word's connotation is. So it's a bad call.
Yeah, if I hear that someone's been threatening someone in the Big Brother house, that a man has been threatening a woman in the Big Brother house and has been very aggressive with her, I'm going, like, and I just see that in writing, I'm like, whoa, this person must be a psycho. Like,
canceled.
I am so afraid of this person. Like, that person is just terrible. And really, like, those are words being used, which, like, maybe the context is different, but none of the stuff would be considered that. I just feel like it's a lot of false, like, big claims that are going around. And I just think that There's also a lot of talk about people outside the house and, you know, about Lolo and about all this stuff. And it's just kind of like, these are people, everyone. Like, I know these are celebrities and people can sit there and say like, oh, you know, they put themselves in the public eye or whatever. But it's like, come on, everyone. Like, let's all just like chill out. And that same sentiment goes for, you know, past house guests of Big Brother and all the drama that's going on right now. It's like, come on, guys, like, let's just chill out, everyone, and not like try and ruin people because we're behind a keyboard. It's like, let's just all take a breath.
So, well said. By the way, Doom in the chat is saying that Tom has done nothing that he needs to apologize for, period. I basically agree with you, Doom. However, I disagree with you that he doesn't need to apologize. I don't think he needs to apologize, morally speaking, but I do think that for game purposes, it would be wise of him to apologize and say, hey, if I came off as threatening, if I came off as this, I am really sorry. I did not mean to do that. Yeah. That's my
bad. It sounds like we have a lot of misunderstandings going on here in the house that have spun out of control. And it would do everybody a lot of good to say, you know what? My bad. Yes. No. It's my fault. It's my fault. I should have. And then let's just, you know, start the conversation. And that would be.
I'm just talking about for the game. Like that could get him a vote here and there, but maybe that he otherwise would not have.
Who knows?
Said that. Okay. I'll
let Who knows? Okay. All right. So well said, Melissa. We can all do better. Okay. Let's talk about what's coming up. Oh, RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars 4 Episode 8 recap.
It was a doozy.
Okay.
Yep. Me, Mike Bloom, and Liana Boris recapped it. It is in your wrap-up feed, and we had a lot of fun with that one and a very fun outcome.
Okay. Be on the lookout for Top Chef Season 16, Episode 9 as well. See what all of the top chefs are up to as well in our Rehap Ups feed. And then, Robin Akiva need a podcast, Episode number 21, The Rehaptular. So this podcast, of course, where Akiva Winokur and I spin a wheel of listener-submitted podcast ideas. This was one that we set up, or Akiva set up our listeners on dates around the country and had them record how the dates went. And we finally get to hear how the Robin and Akiva Need a Podcast listeners did on their blind dates on Robin and Akiva Need a Podcast with Haley Strong on that podcast. So check that one out. Very fun from over the weekend. And then Angelina and I got to speak finally. Got to ask her a lot of the questions when we went through it. And we talked about all of the epic moments that she had in this season. It really is uncanny how many, you know, big moments in the course of a Survivor season one woman was involved in. And so there's a lot there. I thought Angelina did a great job talking all of it through. So be sure to check that out in our Survivor feed. Taryn will be back live in the morning to talk about the new HOA. Who's likely to go up on the block, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. Go to rhap.live anytime to jump in. And then the winter of Stein is blowing in. All of your Gallagher talk, magazines, you name it. Hashtag winter of Stein to get your questions and tweets in. LFC Roundtable will be back again on Wednesday night as well. So be on the lookout for that. And then I'll be back again live at 10:15 p.m. Eastern time after Thursday night's Celebrity Big Brother episode as we get ready for Friday night's Double Eviction Show. So much happening right now in the world of RHAP. Would not be possible without the support of our amazing patrons. 5 years are running, going strong. RobHasAWebsite.com/patron for more information about everything that is going on and how to be a part of our Rob's Podcast patron community. RobHasAWebsite.com/patron for that. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. Any other parting words?
Nope. Okay. I think we're good. I was just reading the chat a little bit, trying to catch up, but I think we're good.
Anything else? Great show. Anything else good from the chat, Brent?
No, I think we've answered everybody's questions, and Okay. I'm good.
All right.
Pees out. They're making fun of me.
Yes, Brent. What's been the verdict on the controversial pees?
I have had a lot of support from people who are like, I am with you, Brent. Peas are nasty. Right. I certainly don't want them on my lamb chops.
Let's get Melissa's take here. Taryn punted when he had the opportunity to be in or out on the peas. Melissa, where do you come down?
What's the question? Just do I like peas?
Well, yes. No, Melissa, lamb chops are typically prepared with peas. And so I said, because my partner makes lamb chops all the time, and I said, I do not like the peas, and I make him remove the peas or do not even put them on my lamb chops when he cooks them. Do you like your lamb chops with peas?
I don't think I've ever had lamb chops with peas, but I do like peas in general.
My partner would call you a heathen. Yeah.
Okay. All right. That sounds like Melissa is put her in the pro peas camp.
Yeah, she likes peas.
I'm a pea gal. What can I say?
Whatever. Okay. All right, let's get out of here. All right, thanks much, Scott St. Pierre. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.